Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. Today, we have our usual suspects. We have a Mr. Hassan.
Hello.
And we have a Queen Ram.
God, hi.
Why do I almost say your government? Why do I do that? I'm thinking of ways to spice up the intro. But as you know, we are a podcast. We talk about all things nerdy from all corners of the nerddom. And today we're going to have a nice light conversation. We're just going to talk a little bit about sequels. Sequels, franchises, why we love them, why we hate them, why they exist, do we need them? Who knows? But before that, we must reach into the corners of the Nerdverse to bring you what we think is the most pressing news, of course. So as you can imagine, some Channel 4 news. So as you can imagine, our news is very subjective. So let's start with the trailers. There were a couple. There was actually quite a lot. There's a lot of video game trailers. I feel like we don't talk about those enough. But we're going to stick with the television and le film. I'm gonna start with Fast 9. I'm sorry, guys. I had to put this in because you know when, like, firstly, I think after our Godzilla episode, I think I unlocked something. I don't know what it. Maybe tolerance. I don't know what it is. Yeah, but
a thirst.
Yeah, a thirst for garbage. But I do. I think especially with, like, you know, Paul Walker passing, rest in peace, and Tyrese's escapades
breakdown. I think is what
on the internet and stuff. I'm not gonna lie. I am always kind of curious as to what this franchise is doing next. And after watching this trailer, all I can say is rocket car in space.
There's that thing, like, you know, in like writing, in like books and that kind of stuff, it's like when they exhaust all these stories on Earth, they go to space.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they did it in Fast and Furious, and I could not be happier.
In Fast and Furious. And you know, that's something that you would sit there at the beginning of that trailer and say sarcastically, are they going to be driving on the moon or something? And then you practically see them in some, not even in a rocket ship, in a car. It has to be a car that, I don't know what that is.
It's the Tesla that Elon Musk threw into space. No, like, do you remember last week when I was like, they jumped the shark so hard that they're in space? They are literally in space.
They are literally, and of all people, it's I don't know the characters' names. I think it's Tyrese and Ludacris piloting that car ship thing. I don't know. Did you guys actually check out the trailer? I know I didn't actually put it on there until like very last minute.
I've not, but I've seen like a lot of memes, and I'm so happy about it. I'm so happy about it.
Ram, did you? I know you. I feel like you don't care for the Fast and Furious franchise, Ram.
I mean, I watched it with you.
So. Oh, you did. Yeah. Listen, half the stuff I think I watched with Ram, I didn't, and half the stuff I didn't watch with Ram, I did.
Yeah, I was just dramatic. Yeah. I don't know.
It was weird, but yeah, I just thought I'd let the people that are looking for that one, let them know that that's there. On to something a bit just as fast paced, but maybe a little bit more classy. We have Army of the Dead. I hope that's the actual name of the film. Is it the name of the film?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Zack Snyder's next sort of project after his Snyder Cut. This is his second zombie film. After Dawn of the Dead, I believe he done as well. He directed.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Which I actually really, it's like it's up there for me, Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
Did you see this trailer?
No. I have seen the trailer. I haven't seen Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, you should check Dawn of the Dead. What did you think of the trailer, though, for Army of the Dead?
It looks ridiculous, and I'm definitely here for some insane zombies. Like, I'm definitely here for, like, I want to see how far they put the ship at, you know? Like, there's a zombie tiger, and, like...
Yeah.
I really want to see them get wacky with it.
I think what I prefer about this project is... It doesn't seem as serious, so I could. It seems a lot more easier to get on board with, if you know what I mean. It's a lot more wackier, and there's a lot of big names. Obviously, everyone knows Dave Bautista's there. What's the guy's name? Omari Hardwick is in the film as well. And I forget the lady's name. I want to say she, the lady from Star Trek. You know who I'm talking about. She has a name, a memorable name.
Burnham.
No, not Burnham. She was the snarky one, the mechanic lady.
Yeah. She's great. She's really funny.
Tig Notaro. That's the one. That's her name. Interesting name, that. But yeah, that was a cool trailer. Ram, any thoughts? Or I feel like you don't really care about zombies, to be honest.
Or Zack Snyder. I hadn't seen this trailer, so I don't have anything to add.
Oh, you should go and check it out. It's pretty cool. And like Hassan said, Zombie Tiger, it just seems ridiculous. It doesn't seem like zombies, cool people doing cool things. It's like wacky people doing, you know, that kind of flavor, which I can get behind. But moving on to some of the stuff you guys probably actually are excited for. We have season 2 trailer for Love, Death and Robots.
Yeah. I'm so excited for this.
Go off.
Right. So we finally get like a release. We didn't get release day, we just got the trailer. For Love, Death and Robots season 2. I've been waiting for like the last couple of years since the end of the first season, which from start to finish, it's a very short anthology series, but it's so well done and it's so lovingly crafted. Like, I can't sing its praises enough. It's excellent. Like, excellent, excellent. And I'm like, I want to see them develop each of those worlds more. And I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
I mean, I guess it's the type of storytelling, that like these short stories, and I just think they're all really well done. You know, the variation of animation design and all those things in the first season. I'm very excited. Did I see Michael B. Jordan in that trailer, or was I bugging out?
Yeah, I thought I saw that as well. But I also didn't go back to double check. But it looks like him.
Do you guys have a favorite episode from season 1?
The starship with the spider. That episode freaked me the hell out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like the freezer one, when there was the world in the freezer. That was pretty cool.
I liked the one, the artist in the end, and he turned out he was a robot that was just like painting.
The
Blue Period one, which was like that was so clever. That was so good.
That one was good. Yeah,
the time loop as well. The time loop was excellent.
Was that when the man was chasing a woman? Yeah. And the woman was chasing a man.
The perspective shifts, and it was so good.
It was really good at building like little concepts and telling these stories about you starting to like having to stop and think and be like, that doesn't make sense, or you just you experience this art, and it was very much art. And then you just take in, process it, and move on. That's what I like. There's no release date, is there? It's just but I'm sure it'll be this year. I feel like you get a trailer when
I'm hoping.
Who knows? Hopefully this year, hopefully very soon. But yes, and last but not least, we have Shang-Chi's trailer. Sorry, I'm trying not to do the Ram knows what I'm trying not to do. The theme song in the trailer, it's stuck in my head.
It's good. It's really good.
I mean, it looks good to put Iron Fist in the bin where he belongs, you know. did anyone else randomly YouTube like Iron Fist fight scene?
No,
I'm the only one.
I never watched it, so I didn't. It's not even on my radar, to be honest.
Ram, you are missing out. It is a masterpiece of storytelling and cinema and character development.
Levi's explained enough and watched enough around the Iron Fist. Be like, no, thank you.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Like, season 2 got better, but it could just be because it was better than season 1.
It was that. It was that the first season was so good. I just thought of a sequel. Sorry. we actually got a little bit of a look at the Ten Rings. I don't know if you noticed. His father was wearing the Mandarin on his wrist. You got a kind of an idea of the sort of power that they're going to have. I did see somewhere that this is going to be set parts like mainly during between the snap and the blip. Don't quote me on that. I think it is going to show a bit of like after the like blip as well, and everyone comes back. So that's quite interesting, especially seeing as from what I can remember, I did not deep dive on in this trailer, but I think that bus scene at the end was in California. And obviously there's going to be like scenes in Asia, like China and things. And I feel like most of Marvel stuff in America, it's like in New York, isn't it? Apart from like random, if they have to go here for that objective. I don't think there's a hero that's based out of New York yet, unless they're like somewhere totally different. So be interesting to see.
Spider-Man.
They're all New York.
Yeah, you just said there was one based out of New York.
No, I said I can't think if there is one based out of New York.
Yeah, maybe Ant-Man, but I feel like it's not specified where he's from.
Yeah.
To me.
Who?
I said Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, maybe. I'm not counting Black Panther. I'm not counting Wakanda. I'm not counting out of space. I just mean, like, you know, do you get what I'm saying?
Internationally. I see what you're saying.
Like, another place that's supposed to be real world. But just a random bit of trivia. Obviously, from the trailer, we kind of saw that Shang-Chi's father is the Mandarin, the real Mandarin, not the fake Mandarin.
Not the fake Iron
Mandarin. Apparently, in actual comic, his father was a guy called... called Fu Manchu, who was very problematic in the comic. He was like long, like I kid you not, like long, twisty bearded Asian man. Very. I think there was even in a comic where he literally said to someone like, "Kill the white man and take his woman." Mm-hmm. All these bizarre things like that. So I think in 2021, what Disney decided to do was just consolidate his father into the Mandarin sort of thing. I mean, they've done that before. To be fair.
It needs to happen. Like, there's so many, like, of that era, like, kind of yellow peril writing was like quite prevalent. And the fact that they're taking kind of steps to move away from it and to acknowledge that these were mistakes is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly that. Anything else you guys want to add on the Shang-Chi trailer? It was cool.
The Kung Fu looked awesome.
Yeah,
I'm so down.
I find it hard to get past my dislike of Awkwafina, though. But that's fine. It's not a main part of the movie, so it's okay. But just she annoys me.
She seems a lot more herself in this film, to be fair.
Yeah.
Doof it doof. Yeah.
Okay, so moving on from the trailers, I just want to make an announcement. Not an announcement, just quick one in the realm of comics. Skybound Entertainment are celebrating 10 years. A couple weeks ago, they announced that they will be dropping a 5-issue miniseries called Skybound X. This is going to have like all sorts of writers from, you know, Robert Kirkman, obviously Ryan Otley, but then other names like Donny Cates, Chip Zdarsky, other writers that, you know, are very well known. And this comic is going to have like unique stories from Walking Dead, but kind of other image titles like Assassination, Excellence. But what I thought was interesting is, one, this is the first time we're going to get Clementine in the comics outside of the Telltale Games. This is the first comic that she's going to be in. Sick. And also, okay, there's this sort of like zombie alien sort of story that they're going to do that apparently involves like Rick with a lightsaber and all this kind of craziness.
So I am down to clown.
I'm not sure when issue, I want to say July, but you know, if you're a fan of Walking Dead and Kirkman, you know, you might as well go and check it out. To be fair, might get a Rick Grimes in an Invincible suit, who knows. So I just wanted to let everyone know about that. But yes, let's dive into the realm of games. Unfortunately, there's not much great news here. Hassan, did you hear about the ex-Sony employee that was on Reddit?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to dive into what he was actually saying, but I know it's out there. I was kind of distracted, A, by work, and B, by the Jason Schreier kind of articles on what's going on in Sony.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of in tandem. I haven't gone into it entirely myself, but Ram, just for context, this was an ex-Sony employee who done an AMA on Reddit. I believe initially this was a thread to do with the PS Vita. And, you know, there's you know, big conversation into how bad the Vita was kind of treated in its lifestyle, in its life cycle. So a lot of people just kind of asking questions on to whether, you know, all sorts of questions. There's a lot of interesting information in terms of like the unique memory card, when they decided to axe the PS Vita and all the firmware hacking, but I won't go into that. But just interestingly enough, you know, as always, the conversation starts kind of spiraling elsewhere. And just interesting that this guy, his user is literally, I think he's the old Sony guy or former Sony dude, sorry. Was talking about the kind of Sony doing, like hiding what it's doing on its left hand from its right hand.
Yeah.
A lot of this kind of culture war that's going on with Sony. And sorry, that's what happened. He was talking about the lack of popularity in a lot of PS Vita titles, but there was a lot of Japanese popularity with a lot of like JRPGs and stuff, but Sony sort of used that as a told you so. And there's just been a lot of like, we've spoken about it briefly before about, you know, America's kind of becoming the world center for gaming almost. And Sony, you can clearly see they're moving their kind of business direction. They you know, they moved their, did they move one of their offices? I can't remember, but it was
they moved to America. They moved to California.
Yeah. And obviously the whole changing the circle to the X to confirm all of these things that kind of show that they're really just chasing the bag. And obviously just some other things that he brought up about them not caring about IPs. A lot of people are asking him about IPs that they leave on the floor because Sony have so many IPs. And he was just saying that, you know, Sony is their business at the end of the day, and they prioritize, you know, monetary value over sentimental value. An interesting just to say, an interesting example he used was Metroid and how Metroid is a bit of a cult classic. But he said the latest Animal Crossing game has sold more units than every Metroid game ever in its entire career. Just, but people love Metroid. Did you see what I mean? So
yeah,
it's more, you can see more of that whole thing of, it doesn't matter what you love. If the statistics, quote unquote, say that you're not playing this, it's just like the backwards compatibility. If the statistics say people won't play old games, so then you're going to say, well, we're not going to bother letting you play old games. Sort of thing. Just interesting tidbits he dropped on in terms of Sony presses and that. Sorry, Hassan, go on.
So it's been repealed, the whole cancelling of the PS3 store and the PS Vita store. Like, it's back up now, thankfully. Hey. So like that whole like library of games still is alive. But at the same time, like the Jim Ryan has like flat out like kind of shown like his focus right now is profitability.
Yeah,
be it like making remakes and canceling studios, that's what he's going to do. Like the getting rid of like Sony Japan and all the studios kind of underneath it. Like there's so many unbelievably good games that have, like, they're dead. Like there's no coming back for like games like Gravity Rush or Ape Escape or like the studios kind of behind them. They're gone. Like
yeah.
And that's a huge blow to gaming. And like,
I think Gravity Rush was mentioned actually. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. I was going to say it's a huge blow to gaming, especially because like Sony, like what it brought to the table was a bridge to the East with Japanese games and with Japanese storytelling in games. And for them to forsake those roots is going to set Sony back hugely, like hugely. When we look at like kind of the stuff they're pumping out now, they're making exactly the same mistakes as EA did and Activision did. When they prioritize making sales over making lasting IPs and products and companies like game developers that could make good games.
Yeah, and I think it's quite interesting that they shut down a lot of Japanese studios and they, like you said, they kind of leave a lot of IPs on the floor. But we look at like Microsoft, and a big issue that people have with Microsoft is they rely too heavily on like one or two like Master Chief or whatever. And it almost seems like Sony has the library, but might end up doing that and being like, okay, we're gonna do an Uncharted 8. It's his son now or something, like, you know. And it's weird that it does seem like the pendulum swings back and forth each gaming generation, if that makes sense. I feel like
it does.
Microsoft are definitely making a lot of consumer friendly moves at the moment, and well, interesting.
So here's the thing though, like with Microsoft and the pro consumer moves, it's they've learned from mistakes, right? They've made these mistakes consistently with the rest of the AAA industry, which is kind of dying, because of like these same mistakes that they're making over and over again, where there's this, it's like there's no industry like the games industry for getting rid of talent. Like,
yeah,
the way that the industry burns through talent, it's like being in the games industry for like 5 years, you're a veteran. It's insane,
right? Yeah.
And like these kind of practices and these kind of chasing of current trends when games development takes years,
yeah,
kills people. Like, you know what I mean? It's like it kills people's ability to work constructively and healthily in the games industry, especially when they're working on games to these scales. And like, so Sony, they're knowingly making this mistake when they've seen everyone else make it ready, and that's bad, man. Feels real bad.
Arrogance. It's like, do you really think you can just do what you want? And I definitely hear that, especially when you see some of these games as service games that come out and they look like they should have came out 5 or so years ago. But yeah, if you want to check that out, I can't remember the Reddit, but you can probably just Google ex Sony employee Reddit and you'll find a thread. It's a lot of interesting questions got asked there. From that though, onto more Sony hijinks. Days Gone 2 was cancelled, and one of the creators, John Garvin, he's not happy with the people. I mean, what he, in a nutshell, for those that don't know, he's basically saying, if you want to support a game, buy the game when it comes out at full price. Am I right in saying that, Hassan?
Yeah, that was his thing was, and I quote, it was, hold on, I actually want to do this properly and actually get the quote, because
I had the quote as well. That's what I was lulling. It says, if you love a game, buy it at full fucking price. He said, don't complain if a game doesn't get a sequel if it wasn't supported at launch. You've probably got more other stuff that he said.
The problem with like comments like that, especially for games like Days Gone, is that the game wasn't optimized. Like when it first came out, it wasn't a full package. Like you could say buy a game full price, like or jump on like if you want to support a game. But when we're in this current climate of games coming out broken constantly, it makes no sense for us to want to, right?
On a new IP as well.
And we were proven right in not doing so.
Yeah. I played some of that game and I haven't gone back to it. Not because it's bad, but it's just whatever, isn't it? Really?
That's the thing, though. Like, you know what the craziest part is as well? Like, Days Gone sold a lot. Like, it made a lot of money. So, like, from a financial point, it still won. Like, you know what I mean? It makes sense for them to have made a sequel because, like, there clearly is a player base and there's clearly like fans enough to want a second one. Like the change.org petitions already hit 50,000. Like there's real numbers behind like people wanting this game. And I'm like,
yeah.
Don't take it out on the consumers. The consumers had your back. That's my issue with this take.
Yeah, just move on to the next project, my guy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the game was free on PS Plus. I don't even think that many people played it on PS Plus. It was a fine game.
I've downloaded it. I've not played it.
It's just one of the hundreds of thousands of games that just exist. Like, my guy. I guess there is a bit of a burden to be had when you've dropped a new IP for a console that did have some big like backing behind it. But
yeah.
Bro, some people can't afford £60. Nowadays, games are £60-70, man. It's like, you know, relax.
It is what it is.
But yeah, on the plus side, I don't know if you saw this. PlayStation Plus Video Pass got leaked. I think it was on a Polish store somewhere. So it does seem like there might be videos, films and things coming for PlayStation subscribers. I don't know if it's to rent or to watch for the month or what, but apparently that's the thing, which is neat.
I'm into it. I want to see like kind of more kind of competition for like streaming services or like ways to get on demand kind of viewing, because the idea of like cinemas kind of going back to where they were is It's laughable. It's not going to happen. So we need kind of better infrastructure for us at home to kind of ingest movies.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I hear that. Okay, so I think we're done. Oh, yes. I was going to bring up Manga UK. I'll say it very quickly because this is just one of those things. You know how Manga Entertainment got bought by Funimation a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
So on the, I think the 12th of April, they decided that on the 19th of April, so I should have said 19th of April, they were going to be totally absorbed and they're retiring the Manga Entertainment name. I just thought that was a little bit sad because the logo for Manga Entertainment is just one of those logos. Like, that was the UK distributor of anime, like, for my whole life, mainly
it's absolutely iconic. Like, if I see the silhouette, I instantly know what it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's one of those ones.
Exactly. So just knowing that it's gonna be, that logo is gonna be mainly on it, just reminds me of like when One Manga went down. You know, that, them just I'd bring that up. RIP. Well, it's still there. I mean, hopefully they, Funimation kept the staff there. I hope they did. I don't know, but you know.
I guess they still need the infrastructure, and like, it'd make no sense to get rid of it if they're just absorbing the company.
Yeah, no, I know. I just hope that they don't. You know, sometimes they try and be like, well, you might as well cut out two of the managers to make one manager, you know. And last but not least, God, this went on longer than I thought. I'm just going to call it Demon Slayer because I don't attempt to say the Japanese names for animes.
Kimetsu no Yaiba?
Better attempt than me. I think that was probably correct. The theatrical days, funny enough, you spoke about cinemas, is set for May 28th. I'm guessing you won't be going, Hassan. Ram, would you come with me?
Maybe. Probably.
If COVID disappears by then, I will definitely come with you guys. I'll give you that.
I mean, at this stage, it's probably going to be released on something else, isn't it, as well?
Hopefully there's a home demand version. That'd be awesome.
That's not too expensive. But okay. God, I feel like I've spoken so much. And I'm about to talk a whole lot more. We are talking about sequels and franchises and the rise of them and the popularity of them. I'm going to ask Ram, because she's been quiet today, what's your opinion on a sequel?
Don't you want to define what a sequel is first? Or no?
I mean, we can, I guess. What do you define?
I mean, I can give you.
No, what do you define as a sequel?
I mean, it's complicated because I was there when you were doing the research. I guess.
What is a sequel to you?
For me, a sequel. Yeah. Okay, I think there's a difference between a franchise and a sequel. I think that a sequel should follow the story somehow of whatever the first story was. So, like, I guess Star Wars or Twilight, whatever. whereas a franchise has a bit more flexibility in that you can. I think a franchise is more about exploring a world, whereas a sequel is about kind of expanding on a story that's already been told. That's my definition.
I agree with that. That's pretty much as succinct as you can get it.
Yeah. I have nothing to really add there. And you answered the second question. What kind of like, what's the difference between the two? I think that's it. Now for the history lesson, guys.
That's it. That's the podcast.
Yeah, that's the episode. Let's go. Bye. So yes, as Ram decided to just hot up my business, I did do a bit of research into sequels because it's kind of curious as to when they started in films anyway. I'm not going to be an idiot and act like books didn't exist. and
cereals
other things.
Was the thing, man.
Yeah, like
Penny cereals.
But in film, especially because, you know, the film industry as we know it is so different to, you know, back when they were like 40-minute films or 4-hour films or 355-minute films or however weird things that they used to do back in silent films.
It was fast and loose, man. Like, there was no rules, just right.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of contenders for the first sequel. I'm going to say it is a film called Son of the Sheikh, which came out in 1926. This was a sequel film to Sheikh. This was the first film to actually star like the same actor and have the same film style and things like that. Interestingly enough, when I was looking into like film sequels, I did come across Ram's favorite film, film franchise, should we say. This film was called Fall of a Nation and was released in 1916.
As soon as you said favorite, I knew you were going to say some wild ass shit.
Yeah. the reason I wouldn't count this is a weird relationship, this film, because D.W. Griffith done Birth of a Nation, which came out in 1915, but that was based off of a book that Dixon Jr. wrote. But then Dixon Jr. was the person who made Fall of a Nation, which was supposed to be a sequel, but the thing is, it had nothing in common with the first film. In fact, it was actually just to promote his book, so it literally had nothing to do with that franchise, apart from the weird coincidence that he wrote the book that the first film was based on. Another one that came out was quite interesting was a trilogy of German films that were made from 1915 to 1920. These were called like the Golems franchise. The only reason
Lord
I won't
count you mean
before Lord of the Rings. but the only reason I wouldn't count this is because this is from the era of like lost films, and out of the trilogy, only one film still exists, and one film has like some of it. And also, apparently, the lost film was supposed to be a parody of the first film, and then the third film was actually a prequel of the first film.
So there's one film to rule them all.
essentially. But to be honest, even though they were like dotted around what some could argue is a sequel here and there, you probably say that outside of Godzilla, franchises kind of became very popular during the 70s and the 80s. I'm thinking of like Rocky and all those kind of films that I missed because my dad wasn't around. Anyway.
Like the Commando films and like the
and
those kind of like schlocky horror and the action stuff, like the stuff that they could Rambo. Make. Like, yeah, exactly. The stuff they could churn out a bunch because it didn't exactly take like a huge amount of writing.
Yeah. So now I'm going to ask you, Ram, is this the appropriate time to ask what your thoughts are on sequels and franchises? Am I allowed to ask?
Yeah, you can ask. I think it's complicated. I think that that a lot of people are Dixon Juniors these days with sequels and franchises because it's more like a money grab thing, as opposed to actually trying to build like a world and stuff. I think that anyway, you know me that I'm kind of like, even in like, I think this is part of the reason that I prefer mangas nowadays, but like even with comics, I don't really read Marvel or DC because I prefer a good standalone story and to let that kind of sit with me, as opposed to like, you know, I think it is interesting to be able to have like a wider world, and that is part of the reason, for example, that I do like the MCU. But I think that for me personally, in terms of like, my escapism or my enjoyment of a story, I prefer it to be something that can kind of sit with me and I can think about the world without having to read about it, if that makes sense. So I don't mind like sequels and like I love a good trilogy and stuff, but I think that franchises for me, I think unless the intention is to expand on a world in the way that actually feels really genuine, then I'm not really interested. So like the MCU, I can fully invest myself in because you can tell from the beginning that they planned this and that they've, you know, as we've each layer deep that we go into the MCU, there's you know, they're showing us new, they're always trying to kind of surprise us and find new ways of making us care about these characters. But I think that not many other franchises really have that.
What do you mean? Fast Nine, they are taking
I don't care about into space. People.
That is world building at its finest.
I don't give a shit about these people.
In Commando 4, Arnie kills a man in maybe the most brutal way that he's killed a man in any of his other movies. That's world building.
Yeah, I'm sticking with MCU, missing... the only franchise that I'm riding for. Everything else, like, if you give me a good trilogy, I'll cool. If not,
I'm gonna argue. I got one. Hold on. How about the Terminator franchise?
All right, wait. We'll get there. I was just gonna argue with you though, Ram. I do think that the very first sequel was probably born out of a cash grab.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying no, but that's why I'm saying I think that a lot of people have returned to that way of thinking.
Oh yes.
That's why I said I think a lot of people are Dixon Juniors because they're not really looking at like the integrity of the story. But I think franchises are definitely worse. At least with the trilogy, I can kind of see where people are trying to go. And you still do kind of have like a standalone, and you know, also trying to make one story and you care about people in like 2 hours is kind of, is like, it's a difficult job. So like, I'm not against trilogies, but I wouldn't say that a standalone trilogy is necessarily like a franchise. So I'm anti-franchise. I'm fine with the trilogy if it's good.
Hassan, your thoughts?
I'm kind of with Ram on this one, but there are exceptions to this. There's some franchises which kind of supersede my need for instant closure. There's some things where I'm like, I'm very
like
much
like what?
We'll get there.
So like games like Halo or like books like Brandon Sanderson's series are very much franchises that I enjoy for both ends of the spectrum of the kind of quality of writing, right? Usually I like a more kind of succinct trilogy or sequel because like there's an endpoint and you can kind of...
You can cut a trilogy as a franchise. Are we not doing that?
Yeah, but like when we're saying franchise, I'm trying to like say something like 10 books or like...
Yeah, I'm right? Go on, yeah.
Like, so like it's the overarching umbrella that's the kind of universe rather than just the story that's kind of told in three bits, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%.
With like the Halo franchise, right? The story is hella dumb, but like it's super fun. And I know every time I'm going to play it, I'm going to have a hell of a lot of fun with it. Right. Mm. So like, I love that franchise because I like the characters and the world. And I'm always just there to kind of enjoy what it is I'm enjoying rather than kind of looking for something kind of artistically.
Sounds like me in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, for real, right? Like I'm not looking for them to reinvent the wheel for me artistically. I'm just there to like shoot some cool guns and be Mr. Chief again. Like that's my thing, right? With Brandon Sanderson on the other side, like it was like a few years ago when he kind of revealed that all of the books that he'd been writing for like a decade or so was all in the same universe. Like this is like a vast amount of his novels were all in the same universe. They all had the same kind of pantheon of gods and the magic was all kind of connected. And he did this like one of the most ambitious and kind of interesting pieces of like wrangling of fiction. And that is a franchise and I am deeply invested in, and the integrity to the art and the quality of the writing is tip top.
I guess
the bigger part for me is just more intention. I suppose like I'm not obviously gonna shut down every franchise, but I think what I was speaking more about like films.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
I do think that like as an author I would find it hard to, well, unless you're like writing 50 Shades of Grey, I said what I said, I don't care. Like, I think that other authors like spend a lot of time and like it's like writing, it's to me, I think a bit more like I couldn't imagine that many authors making a franchise just because it's going to make a lot of money.
That's exactly.
Unless
Mills and Beans, like I said, Mills and Beans' whole thing.
No, I know, but unless it's like, you know, certain people. But I think for the most part, I have faith in authors. I don't really have faith in filmmakers as much. No
there's less to lose as an author because it's just your head. It's just time you're wasting, isn't it? Really, like if you're making a film, you have to think about paying actors, paying so many different people, like a million. Obviously, I'm not trying to say it's free to write a book, but it kind of could be free to write a book if you just like was writing on your iPad every now and then. So you have more freedom with what you're doing, isn't it? Whereas with a film,
yes and no. This is a common misconception. The way that publishing has been going for a very long time, it's kind of a mess. So you're paying for editors, you're paying for like proofreaders, you're paying for like so many different steps to making sure
that the quality of the book is... Can you compare the price of that to the price of making a film? No, that's what I'm trying... Sorry, I didn't mean there's nothing saying, like, to lose. I get it.
More complicated than you're giving me credit for.
Sorry, yeah, let me not simplify things. What I mean to say is the risk I feel like the risk is a lot less.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, the millions of pounds you could lose if you just make garbage. And when you're, you know how it is, when you're investing that much money into something, you're a lot more paranoid over the final product. You kind of, you might lose some artistic integrity, this, that, and the other, to try and appeal to audiences. Whereas I feel like authors are a lot more like, this is my thing, this is my story, and my I'm going to tell it how I'm going to tell it, you know, kind of thing. So I thought, what would we do? Is we talk about our best and worst sequels and our best and worst franchises. By sequels, I mean a sequel that was better than the original. And obviously, worst sequel is a no-brainer. That's the worst sequel. And then best and worst franchise. I think that's also, you know, makes sense. So, I don't know if I want to start with sequels or franchises. We can start franchises. We'll start sequels. We'll start sequels. So we'll start with a good sequel. What sequel did you think? And this is films. Let's try and keep it films.
Would you go obscure first or mainstream first?
You can go obscure, I guess. I guess. I tried to keep mine very... I think I've only got one obscure, and it's ironically in this category. Okay. But, yeah. All right. All right, Ram, ladies first. Go on. Best sequel.
I think for me, it's probably Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Which one's that? Is that the middle one?
Yeah, the second one. Okay. I think that it works the way that a trilogy should kind of work. And I'd never think that the first... If you're planning to make a trilogy, then I think there's one thing having an accidental trilogy where, like, the first movie... And this is, again, why you should start off with the intention to do that as opposed to just it being a money grab just because the first movie went well. But I think that, like, Planet of the Apes... Rise of the Planet of the Apes was a good, like, foundation of, like, getting to know the characters and building the world that, like, eventually became the second movie. So I feel like it hit the correct curve that it should as a trilogy. But I think, like, the second movie really, like, built upon the things that were established in the first movie and kind of gave you, at the same time, developed them. Because I think that a lot of, like, not meant to be sequels tend to be quite stagnant, and this wasn't. Like, we learned a lot more about Caesar, we learned a lot more about characters like Kobu. Even though we'd only seen, like, a glimpse of him in the first film, it was, like, enough to kind of base a lot of, like, that character's ideology. The story was great. The way that they even built, like, the human side of it, despite the fact that those human characters weren't characters that we knew in the first movie. And it also just did a really good job of, like, kind of showing you whose side we were supposed to be on, because we know Caesar, we don't know those humans. So I just thought that the film is excellent, and also its place in the trilogy is also excellent. So that's my pick.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's something in the second movie that kind of makes it one of the best, like, it was one of the most, like, ridiculous and kind of most, like, triumphant moments in cinema in, like, maybe the last, like, decade or so, where Kobe jumps through the fire on the horse with the two machine guns. I was like, this is art.
What I liked about it is the way that it took such a, like, it was so different from the first film, like, full post-apocalyptic, but then also, like, still felt very much like the sequel to the first film. I mean, obviously it still had Caesar in it, but do you know what I mean? I kind of liked how they switched up the flavor, but you still knew it was a Walker's crisp, you know.
Absolutely. There's also a better love story in it than Twilight, just saying. And it was monkeys. It makes no sense that they had more depth.
Says a lot. But Hassan, your best sequel?
So I'm going to go with Infernal Affair 2. I was having this conversation on Twitter recently, actually, about the Infernal Affair trilogy, which is amazing. Like, from start to finish, 3 is not as good as the first 2, but, like,
I've never heard of these. I've never heard of these ones.
You've seen The Departed, right?
Matt Damon?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a direct kind of rip from that Hong Kong movie. It's like almost scene for scene. It's like kind of a like Hollywood does that every now and again with like the instead of like bringing a movie over, they'll just redo it with American actors to like sell it to American audiences. But
yeah,
you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't actually go and watch the Infernal Affairs movies. They are top notch crime films.
Oh, like, so the Departed is based off of this?
Yeah.
Okay. A new thing every day.
Mm-hmm. Mate, it's so good. So like the second movie is set from a different perspective to the first movies, but in the same world, in the same kind of in the same crime families, and with the like the police kind of corruption and everything going on, it adds so much dimension and so much depth and like kind of richness to the story being told, because a lot of it is told in flashbacks. So there is there's moments where you start to fit pieces in a greater puzzle that really just hammers home like how much you're invested in this world. It's so good. It's so, so good.
I'm gonna check that one out. I'm feeling fruity. That sounds good, man.
Mate.
I mean, I feel like I'm gonna come with some basic picks. No, I mean, I've got two. I mean, I personally try to pick something that the first film wasn't that good with. So the first one I picked that you probably haven't heard of is a film called Ouija, and
I've heard of it. I've not seen it.
So the Ouija Origin of Evil. That's the second one. Now the first Ouija film was like hot garbage. Excuse me. Like it was very much like teenagers messing about with a Ouija board, and then some like, you know, ghost thing a comes Ouija to get board? Them. A Ouija board. and you know, ghosts come, you know, do some research, say, put ghosts back in thing, you know, whatever. But the second one kind of was a story on the ghosts that were haunting them in the first film, but it was just so much better. It was just so much better, and it took itself a lot more seriously compared to the kind of teeny crappiness that was the first film. So that was my obscure pick, because I really, really like Ouija 2. And my obvious pick is going to be The Dark Knight,
because yes.
Batman Begins was hot garbage. And wait, is it Dark Knight? Wait.
Yeah, it's Dark Knight.
Dark Knight Rises.
The third one.
Yeah. I mean, need I say more? Like, we went from Liam Neeson's Ra's al Ghul to Heath Ledger's Joker in it. Like, I don't think I have to say anything more on that one. So that
trilogy is wild, bro.
It's such a roller coaster.
Yeah, the quality just jumps all over the shop.
So yeah, those are my best. I think I'll just go straight into my worst and we'll go backwards. I didn't think about this too much because I'd be saying films are garbage for no reason, but films that actually kind of upset me is Hangover 3. Arguably Hangover 2. I'm still not sure if I even accept Hangover 2, because I feel like those two films made me realize how kind of trash the first one was. So it not only ruined it was not only bad in itself, but it made me dislike the other film. So I don't know, that slapped me a certain way. And I'm gonna say Taken 2 and Taken 3, because they're all the same film. So some people watched it once, some people watched it three times.
I mean, there's a very similar thing for my one, but like with the Taken series in particular, it's so much stupider, because it's like, how many times is your family going to get kidnapped, fam? Just, what are you guys doing at this point? Like, could you not learn from the first mistake?
Why it's funny is, it was the daughter in the first one.
Mm.
And then, was it the mum in the second one?
What's the difference?
I can't, and then it was him in the third one. I can't remember. After the first one, I've removed them from my mind.
There's visible confusion on my face.
There's a lot worse sequels, but those are particularly egregious to me. Hassan, I don't know if you want to drop your worst sequel.
Yeah. So I've got a couple, right? One that hurts me is Mortal Kombat 2, Annihilation, which on paper, it's like, it's exactly the kind of film I should love. Like, I love bad movies. I love like schlocky kind of like kung fu movies, and like I love Mortal Kombat. So like on paper, it's like a slam dunk, right? It should be like, yeah, 10 out of 10, let's go home. It's so bad. It's not even enjoyable. That's how bad it is. There's like the first one, I love that film, and I can kind of constantly go back and watch it because it's bad, but it knows it's bad and it's not taking itself seriously. Christopher Lambert's right, like Raiden, it's so stupid. It's great, right? Yeah. This one tries to take itself seriously and tries to lean on laurels that don't exist. And I'm like, guys, we can't be doing this. It's Mortal Kombat, guys. Come on. Like,
I think what's interesting about the Mortal Kombat films is they just be so ambitious for the budgets that they have. They always, always do it. But yeah.
The effects are always just, mwah. They're like... It's like high school, like secondary school volcano experiment.
Oh my god,
it's so good. But like, I love stuff like that, and they failed it, and it's like it's so much worse when you try and be schlocky and you can't be schlocky. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that. Ram,
hold on.
You got another one. Sorry.
Yeah. So my second one is Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
I haven't even seen it. I don't like that guy, you know. And yeah, I don't
no,
know
no,
why.
No, I'm not defending him or the first one. The first one is awful, like actively awful. But the second one is worse because the first one was awful and it got worse and they still made it and everyone still kind of went out of it and didn't apologize. It's,
oh my god,
it's nightmarishly bad, right? I've been like, what, like listen to this podcast where they review it every year. And like I finally
again and again.
So this podcast is like they record it once a year and all they do is watch Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. That's it.
That sounds like torture.
It's hilarious, torture. Right? But like, so I finally went, okay, I'm actually gonna go and like watch it, and it is nightmarishly bad. I hate that movie so much.
I just look at that guy's face and I don't like him, so I'm not even going to. Ram, worst film sequel.
I think mine are all the ones after Die Hard. Die Hard's my favorite action film, and
but then doesn't the that just... doesn't... go on.
And then I was just gonna say all of the second Disney film sequels except from Lion King 2 because I like that one. But I don't know why they bother to make them, because it's not like they ever go to cinema. I don't really get the point, and the stories are always so terrible, like Cinderella 2, Little Mermaid 2, 102 Dalmatians, what, all of those.
Is are you telling one? Me you don't like Aladdin Prince of Thieves? Are you telling me you don't like that movie?
No, I was gonna consider that one as maybe an okay one.
I was gonna ask, is there two things I was gonna say? Is one, at what point does Die Hard just become a bad franchise?
It didn't even need a number two.
So does that come under bad franchise? And also, is there a particular Disney sequel that really irks you?
Little Mermaid 2, because her child is so badly behaved. And she does the opposite children. Of what her mom does. I don't know, I just didn't understand the point of that movie. And that was me. I haven't watched that movie as an adult or as a teenager. So that was me watching it at 8 being like, why? So,
God,
if that doesn't tell you something,
yeah, a child being like, look at this bad child. All right, Ram, it's back with you. We are now going best franchise.
I mean, like I kind of said before, it has to be the MCU for me. There's probably like a few others that I can think of, but I think that they really said that like we're gonna franchise, and they've done it with their like whole heart. They've not let us down, and like obviously not every movie bangs, but like for the ambition that they had and what they've been able to like carry out, to the fact that they've got TV shows out and we're still watching them and we're still learning something new about these characters, and none of it really ever feels like a cash grab. I feel like even in their like kind of worst movies, you can kind of feel like, okay, they were trying to do something there, as opposed to like they're just, I mean, at this stage, we are all kind of like take our money, but there's a reason that we're like that. It's not in a bad way. And I think that like
It's been earned.
Yeah, even with their misdemeanors, it's kind of, you can, you know, give them some grace for that because of everything else that they've done with the franchise. So I have to say the MCU.
I agree.
That's not fair. It's not fair!
I want to throw in the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, that trilogy, that franchise.
I'm not counting it as a franchise for some reason. Oh, you're just keeping... But only because I'm can't. I mean, you can. That's just my own.
Count the old films
as
well.
Yeah. No.
Oof, man. I love like the old Charlton Heston ones. The what's his name? What's their director? The Tim Burton. Those ones.
Oh.
Let's pretend those don't exist.
Which ones? The ones when they were? It turns out they were on Earth all along.
That's the Charlton Heston.
Yeah,
okay.
And then they tried to do it for the Tim Burton ones, but it was like, this is stupid, and I don't want you to have a twist. Yeah, so this newest kind of trilogy of like the Planet of the Apes is the most consistent trilogy since Lord of the Rings, I think, which is like, I know it's like a big claim, but like if you think about it, like there's no dud movie in that trilogy. Mm-hmm. They're all incredibly good fun. Like they're all really enjoyable. They're all really well put together. Like when you watch them, you don't really have like a gripe about them. They came in, they did what they did, and they did it well.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to also add Lord of the Rings into that trilogy.
Oh, my days. You've taken all of my options. You guys have taken all of my options.
we're too similar, man. Like, this is like, this is why we're friends. Like,
It's fine. Go on. Lord of the Rings.
Even if you don't like, J.R. Tolkien's like incredibly dry writing, because like, don't at me, his writing is dry. We all know it's dry. You can enjoy it being dry. It's fine. Like, it's dry. if you don't enjoy his writing, like the film still instilled that sense of wonder that his books absolutely give you. Like, I remember like reading like the Hobbit and like the Lord of the Rings books as a kid, and then just like being transported like to this fantastical world with all the nerdy languages that he was so into writing. And I'm like, this is so nerdy, but I love it so much, right? And then watching the movies, it took me to that feeling, and all three of them, brilliant.
God, Hobbit was good as well. The first one, I haven't actually seen
the book was good.
Oh, I thought the film was fine. I haven't seen the other two Hobbit films after that, though. I only saw the first one.
Trust me, don't do it to yourself.
You guys have taken all of my my squeaky clean options, so now I've got to go all controversial in here. MCU, Lord of the Rings. I was thinking about Pirates of the Caribbean, but it just took such a dirty nosedive after the first film. And there's five films? I think two out of five is too many bad ones for me to say. The franchise as a whole is cool. I think the concept, like, it hasn't, like, if I will always look out for a Pirates of the Caribbean film, if that makes sense. Because of the world, how interesting it was outside of those, like, after the trilogy, that stuff they were doing afterwards. But Star Wars, I'm gonna say it.
Star Wars as a trilogy, it was fine.
I'm talking as a franchise. Firstly,
as a franchise, it's so much bigger than the nine movies. It's so much bigger than those nine movies.
Okay, that's true.
And me personally, you've got to remember, I like the prequels as a whole, not like the first film was long, like it was janky, but the story it told in terms of Anakin turning into Darth Vader, I didn't mind that. Do you know what I mean? I liked it. So the last three was a bit of a blunder, but part of me thinks if it wasn't in Disney's hands and they didn't have that pressure from like Marvel, the MCU doing so well, someone else might have been able to just do it better. You know what I mean?
Zack Snyder.
I mean, those lightsaber fights might be lit, though. You never know. I didn't even mean to do that. but like you said, Hassan, outside of the films, you know, the Star Wars universe is so big, and we were talking about franchising and how it differs from the sequel in the fact that, you know, it's built a world where instead of you having to follow this character directly into a said sequel, you can be like, let's go dive into that corner of the universe. And, you know, obviously Solo missed, but Rogue One was really good. You know, Mandalorian was really good. You know, like, this world is so rich in lore that even though the main films might miss because of their attempt to kind of catch everyone, the shows and other content that can be allowed to be a bit more specific in their style will so far seem to flourish, you know what I mean? So I'm going to say Star Wars. That's a hot take.
You've sold me.
I still disagree, but I don't care.
I've got one more. Star Trek.
Star Trek
is absolutely a wonderful like franchise for me. I adore Star Trek.
I'm still green on it outside of Discovery, to be fair. Do you know what? I've totally forgotten the order that we were doing this. Who's next? Best franchise. Or was it me? Was I last?
Yeah, you finished.
Okay, so I'll go West. I'll go West franchise. All right, cool. My Star Wars love just kind of flipped me over. I've got a couple here. I'll just run through them quickly. Final Destination, only because I had a love-hate relationship with Saw, but then I kind of ended up hating Saw. And I feel like Final Destination was like a lazier version of Saw, just to get effects of people dying in cool ways. But it was just really like, I don't know. Paranormal Activity, because of how groundbreaking the first film was in terms of what it did and its scale and everything back. And it's almost like the progenitor for the Blumhouse formula, as you would, but then after the first film they literally just done that again and again five times, and they're doing it a six. I think there's another I don't know if it's a reboot or what. And lastly, it's a very personal one for me, Transformers, because I can deal with like the wackiness in Fast and Furious, because, you know, whatever, driving to the moon, sure, whatever. I'm waiting for Vin Diesel to ride a torpedo somewhere, but robots, giant robots, yeah, that should be a no-brainer, right? And they, in my opinion, they fluffed every single film. I won't even say the first film was good. They were all
did you not see garbage. That he had Excalibur?
I didn't get that far. I saw
Levi, look me in the eyes. He had Excalibur. It's a 10 out of 10.
What was that one called? The Darkest Night or something? Like, when I saw that one, I was like, I'll never. Mate. So yeah, those are my worst friends. But then when it comes to franchises, I can really just go off. But those are the three I'm gonna behave myself and stick to. So yeah.
I was kind of drawing blank for a while, but like there's a couple kind of bait ones that I have to, because like it's almost become kind of my like podcast persona at this point. DCEU is trash. I hate it, it's trash, it's bad. Just nuke it from orbit. It's so shallow and it's so gaudy, and they've got so much money and they've had time to fix the issues in developing characters, but they're like, they keep rushing it out of the door and they keep making the same mistake. And like, making mistakes is fine, but if you keep doing it, it's frustrating. And it's like, I don't want to hate movies about franchises that I love. Like I want to see good like comic book movies, but like I'm like full of like trepidation every single time I see like a new trailer from like DC. I'm like, oh, I don't want to feel this kind of like anxious for no reason. Like,
yeah.
The other one I want to throw some shade on a book, the Annihilation trilogy. They did like the Netflix movies with those books are trash. I'm so angry because the first book was great. Like the first book hooked me hook, line, and sinker. And it just like, you could feel the care was dead. Like as soon as the last page was gone, the care of the first book, the care was dead. Trash. Just awful. Hold on. I did have one more.
My hot take, James Bond is the worst franchise.
Oh yeah.
Ram.
I was never writing for it. I just said I didn't think it was bad.
Okay, I'm not gonna say it's the worst. It's the worst franchise, but it's not a good franchise. Like, it's just like, do you know
exactly
what I mean?
Exactly. It is so whatever, and we are Brits. Mate, we are Brits here. We don't all love James Bond over here, guys.
Yeah, for real, for real. Ram, it's your turn.
Yeah, worst franchise, Ram.
I'm gonna say the Narnia films.
You mean the Bible?
Yeah, I don't think they translated very well to the screen at all. But I also think that they didn't really try to translate them to screen. I think that that's the kind of like the Narnia book. I mean, I haven't really read all of them, so I'm only going off my memory as a child. But like, they're so kind of all over the place. You don't really get the same returning characters. So I think that they struggled to make it a franchise at all, because it just, even though the story was kind of interesting, even if it was just basically the Bible play by play, but like, yeah, and it's still for me Star Wars, but I am mainly just counting the 9 films. But I just think that I'm not that interested in Star Wars, and they didn't really keep me at all. I think even the stuff where it is good, I think that a franchise should be strong as a whole, and like I was saying with the MCU, you can obviously have some movies that are not that great, but for me it doesn't really hold up as much of a world. Like, I'm not so yeah, I don't care what you guys say.
I mean, you say the Marvel comics or whatever, though. Just saying.
No, I don't say. I say
I'm not getting involved in this one, guys.
No. It's not that they're whatever. I just don't want to read them because I'm not that invested in. Yeah, no, you're hipster.
Nah, I get it. Star Wars is a hard sell, because I even reading the High Republic stuff, and I don't read all of it at the moment, but I read enough to kind of get I could tell you the current state of affairs in that world. It's really good, but I know it's a hard sell trying to get someone to be like, I know that 2.5-hour film was bad, but why don't you read this novel instead? Because
it's like a 25-hour engagement instead.
Yeah, it's you can sap that novel out of my hand, you know. Yeah, okay. One last question for you guys. Franchise or standalone film?
Both. I'm okay with both. I approach them on their own terms, because it's like saying apple or cake. It's like, what? Like, they're both good and they both can be bad. Like,
well, one's better than the other.
Cake is obviously better than the other, but like,
5-year-old, they're definitely not gonna, they'll get rid of the apple. But I'm joking. None of us are like, 5, so it's fine.
No, but you know what I mean. It's like they both have their time and their place.
I think, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think as a creator, you have to know what type of story you're gonna tell before you start telling it, maybe. So mm-hmm. You know, if you're gonna make a short story, write a short story.
Yeah, yeah, Annihilation writer. Yeah.
If you're gonna do a franchise and do it properly, I guess, and plan for it. But I totally agree with you. I think there's a time and a place. They can both be done well. Ram, I feel like you're leaning onto one side. The cake.
No, I enjoy a good sequel. I think just for me personally, as in like the way that I grew up reading certain books or whatever, I preferred, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a standalone, like one book, but it is a standalone story, if that makes sense. For example, Harry Potter is a standalone story because it's a story about one guy spread over 7 books. So I'm not against the thing, but I just think that personally for me, that I think that there's a lot of like tendency for authors or writers to kind of like bloat a world where it doesn't need to be. And I guess as someone who used to enjoy fan fiction, I kind of like to have that little bit of space for you to form your own relationship or your own kind of imaginings of the world. And I think that sometimes it kind of gets oversaturated these days when like every so often an author or writer is coming back to tell you, oh, and there's this and there's this and there's this, and it just sometimes doesn't feel genuine. But you know, like,
obviously sometimes it feels transferred.
Was it JK Rowling?
Like, that's who I was low-key trying to
Can I add one quick bad trilogy in?
Go for it.
Twilight. Awful. Trash.
I was skating around that because I thought Ram was going to get upset.
Fight me, Rob.
Not really. No.
You made me. You made me watch two of those films. Oh my days.
Yeah, because it was part of my childhood.
It's.
Can I throw away
mood if you're like with some mates? You can have a laugh about it, but like, they're bad.
I'm gonna throw in a guilty pleasure franchise / trilogy for me, and that's the Bourne series. I always used to look
at. I don't think that's bad though.
I mean, I think it's good. I was arguing putting it on best, but I'm like, it's definitely not best. I can objectively say that.
You said guilty pleasure, so I thought you meant that you.
Nah, all right, not guilty. Like, I put it in the good.
Honorable
hot take. Hot take. Yeah, honorable mention. Because that one with Renner was a bit weird. But
that doesn't count.
I used to love those films, and I actually used to, because those, when I first got into those films, that's when I used to see people loving off James Bond, and I'm like, you love that moist guy James Bond, and Jason Bourne is out here killing people with pens and towels and books. Like, I just used to think there was no like competition.
There's no justice in this world.
Yeah. But let's wrap up. That is an episode, guys. Before we go though, what have you been up to, Ram?
I started watching the Tokyo Revengers. To Your Eternity, which are both good. I watched both of them because I didn't want to watch Attack on Titan.
We have an episode that requires Hassan and Ram to watch Attack on Titan.
I'm only five episodes.
Ram was
away.
Like, I'm gonna watch it and started two new animes.
Look, Levi, I have been watching it. I haven't watched a lot of it.
Guys, 25. Guys, I
can watch all of mine in one day. So
the problem is, like, I can't, like, every time Aaron starts talking, my concentration slips.
I think I'm gonna send Hassan some YouTube videos so he doesn't have to actually watch it.
No, I'm gonna watch it because I wanna come at this properly. Like, I don't wanna like come out with other people's kind of opinions.
Okay, yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, I want to have some sort of like journalistic integrity to my slander, right?
I respect it.
Yeah.
And I will probably finish Breath of the Wild tonight. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, Hassan. I know you've been busy.
Yeah. So I've been doing a bunch of stuff recently. Been playing Magic the Gathering. I've been playing Apex. There's a bunch of games I've been playing, and like my brain has completely like died. Like,
let's focus on the. You might as well tell us a bit about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. So I've been playing Arena. Like, I think it was like second lockdown when I started playing it originally. Like, it was one of those like kind of games, like the big amorphous things where it was like it felt impenetrable for like the longest time, and I started giving it a go.
Mm.
And then the lovely people at like yours truly like reached over and they invited us to the Strixhaven thing. So I've been kind of getting more and more into Magic, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. Nice. Apart from that, I've been reading a lot like recently. Been reading Larry Niven, like some like hardcore sci-fi. So good. I've been reading Brent Weeks' Burning White, which is the fourth in that series of the Lightbringer series. Excellent book. I'm reading the graphic novel by Duncan Jones, the director of Moon. That movie is so good, by the way. But it's his graphic novel, Once Upon a Time. Maddie, Once Upon a Time in the Future, and it is hella good. It is hella good.
Nice. As for myself, as Ram said, I did watch those two animes with her, and I really enjoyed it because I've been meaning to watch something that's not shonen for a while. And I always say to Ram, I want to watch other animes. So the fact that she happened to put those on in front of me, and the Revengers one was fine. I definitely like the other one more, To Your Infinity. To Your Eternity. And the opening was sung by Utada Hikaru, who is the queen, Kingdom Hearts, for those who don't know. And she's also sung, I think she's generally done a lot of soundtrack work for a lot of anime, but Kingdom Hearts,
she's
does
a goat, man. She's a goat.
And the opening is a vibe. It is a vibe. But outside of that, I've been playing Pac-Man Battle Royale. I've been that Pac-Man 99 game. So have you not seen it, Hassan?
Like, you said a string of words, and I was getting more and more disappointed as the sentence went on.
Listen, it's so good. Did you play the Tetris one?
No. I never played it. I didn't have a Switch at the time when it was kind of like blowing up, but. I'll play with you.
Like, I don't even know if we can play together. I think you just go into a lobby. And all right. You don't, it's weird because just like the Tetris one, you don't have much control over what's going on. You clear a line, it puts a line on one of the other 100 people. But I really love those quick arcadey type games that you can see it, play one game, put it down.
Yeah.
And that Tetris game was just that. And this Pac-Man game is scratching that exact same itch. It's easy to pick up, it's easy to understand, and it's quite fun. And I've actually won a couple games. So I feel like I'm some sort of Pac-Man god.
I've been playing Outriders, by the way. If you get that, come play with me because it's fun.
Is it good? I've been scared, man.
It's got tech issues. It definitely has some I've glitched into things and
I was just scared to get into a games as a service again.
No, it's not games as a service. The story is compact. It's like once you finish you finish the story.
I thought it was like, I see a lot of people just playing it and grinding, loot grinding and all that stuff.
Oh, it is. It's a looter shooter and you can play it online, but like the world and the story is like, you wrap it up, you know? Yeah, it's definitely fun, but like, I'm getting like kind of Remnant from the Ashes vibes and I really enjoyed that game. And in the same way, I've hit a point now where like it's got too difficult to play alone, and I'm like, that feels scummy, man. I don't want to play with people. I'm a grouch. Let me just be a grouch.
they're trying to force you in a loop, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, outside of that, I've just been playing Nioh 2, and I actually picked up Bravely Default 2. I know, I did it.
Nice.
Really good, and it looks really nice. I'm having fun with it right now. I didn't think I was going to pick it up, but I'm going to try and bang it out before Returnal comes out, because I think that's the next game that I'm picking up.
Kenna Bridges Spirits as well soon, and Mass Effect is in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, but yeah, I think that's it. I'm putting off starting My Hero because the new season's there, but I'm gonna get onto it.
Brother, it's fillers.
That's me. Oh, and happy Falcon Day. By the time this comes out, the finale will be here, even though we won't have a review until the week after.
Mm-hmm. Happy get ready day. Get ready.
Is Invincibles the same? Is that the last episode?
I don't know. I definitely know there's another episode, but I think there's eight episodes rather than seven. So next week is seven.
Okay. Well, yeah. Happy Falcon Day. And that is an episode, guys. Ram, would you like to tell the kind listeners where they can find us?
You can find us on The Nerd Alternative on Instagram, The Nerd Alternative without an E after the N on Twitter, and on Reddit. And you can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Google Play, and others. Just Google us.
Yes, do that.
Leave us a review and a rating, and don't forget to subscribe because that does really help.
Yes, and I'm just looking at loads of franchises that we did not mention. Godfather, Back to the Future, Spider-Man Trilogy, Men in Black, The Oceans franchise, Hunger Games, Shrek, Alien, Predator.
No, we got to quit.
Anyway,
goodbye.
Goodbye until next time. See ya, bye-bye.
Hey everybody, this is Nerd Bomber here, one of the co-hosts of the Online Warriors podcast. Our weekly podcast started as a way for three friends to keep in touch and discuss their passion for movies, gaming, technology, and entertainment. And since then, we've grown into a fantastic online community. Every Wednesday, we release a new episode discussing the latest nerdy news, and then we go hands-on with our weekly adventures and a fun trivia show. Sound interesting? Check us out on every podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or hit us up at onlinewarriorspodcast.com.